Sweet. Thank you, Rose Asteroid.
Yeah, welcome. For those of you that are just now tuning in, this is 90.1 WRUV-FM Burlington. Woo-hoo. We've got Rose Asteroid in here. What?
Ooh, WRUV.
Exactly. Why don't you guys go around and introduce yourselves?
Okay.
And, yeah, tell us what you play. Maybe a fun fact about yourself, if you will. Anything you would like to share with your fellow listeners?
A fun fact. Well, I'll start off. So my name is Mats Thurison, and I am the bass player of Rose Asteroid. I love slap bass. I love funk bass. I love classical music. I'm also a cellist. I'm going to pass it off to you. Yeah, that's right. You a cellist?
Well, it used to be high school, but...
Okay, all right, fair enough. Pick it back up.
I do all love right. a cello.
All right.
Very elegant instrument, I will say.
Oh, absolutely,
love cello.
Yeah. And actually, fun fact about Marcus, too. I'm going to pass it off to Marcus. He's got something to say.
So, yep, I'm Marcus. I'm the guitarist, and Mats and I have known each other for a long time. I was a violinist for the longest time, and I actually make violins. That's my
job.
Whoa!
So, yep.
How does one get into this field of work, may I ask?
I honestly have no idea how it happened.
Did you go to school for violin making?
Yeah, actually.
Are you serious?
That was my college, essentially.
So it's not something I can just drop into? I'd have to go to school for it?
I went to school for 3 years, and I left thinking that I knew like a decent amount, and then as soon as I got into the workshop, I was like, oh, I actually know nothing, and I still like went to school for 3 years for it.
Wow.
What's the certification for it? Like, is it like violin making is like the title of it all?
Or is it just like general woodworking stuff?
Yeah. I mean, like in Germany, at least in a lot of Europe, they have actual certificates for like doctorate in violin making.
Damn. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Doctor.
Doctor. Yeah.
Not in the US, but you know.
Sorry, I'm just so amazed by this fact.
Yeah, this
Wait, does your microphone not work over there?
My name is Aiden Marble. I'm the drummer. Aiden McGee Marble. Yeah, exactly.
Is that your actual middle name, or is that like a reference to McGee the artist?
Because that's for real my middle name.
Okay,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
There we go.
But yeah, I've been a drummer since I was like 5 years old, thanks to my dad. Started it all, cracked the egg on that. And I'm a chef in the meantime. And yeah. Play with these two fools all the time. Twice
awesome.
A week.
What's your favorite dish to make?
Yeah, meatballs. Mm. I'm a big meatball guy.
There we go.
Meatball City. Meatball City. Exactly.
Where are you Italian?
No.
May I ask? Oh.
Nope. No, I just adopted
you
it.
You just picked up, yeah. Just picked up the meatball tradition.
Yeah, meatball guy.
What was the name
My
of that?
My culture is not a joke. Sorry. No, never mind.
Yeah, vetoed.
There we go.
Vetoed. What was the name of that first song, by the way? Also, wait, your microphone should be working. It just won't be coming out of the monitor. So you won't hear it working. It just should
Perfect.
Potentially work.
Well, so the name of that first song is called Comfort Zone because it's weird and it's kind of like out of the comfort zone. We don't have lyrics tentatively. We are working on that. We got lyrics for some songs, but usually I'm the one who does the singing as it is right now because we're just a three-piece. And there is one song that I'm going to be singing tonight that I can play at the same time, but usually I like to just lose myself behind the bass so I'm not glued to a microphone. And if we're on stage, you know, out playing somewhere, we're usually very animated. We have these wireless systems for our guitars, so Marcus and I are usually like jumping up and down and running through the room and doing all kinds of crazy shit. I mean, stuff.
Uh-oh.
Swear jar.
Swear jar. We just don't condone that, and that's okay. But yeah. you guys are good.
FCC.
I can already tell.
FCC swear jar.
I can already tell that you guys have a lot of passion, and I wish we had that crazy tech going on in here so I could witness this jumping around and whatnot. But I'll have to come to one of your shows. You got any?
Oh,
hey,
got
we
some
got
jumping.
A little jump.
Yeah, we got a lot of
jump.
Wires.
Yeah,
do you have any shows coming up that are not a part of WREV that we can watch your jumping occur?
Hey, you know what? That's a great question. And the answer to that is no. No, we just played a couple shows just recently. Right now, we are not booked up at the moment. But usually, they just kind of come and ask us. We don't really go out to anybody and be like,
wow.
Hey, give us a gig. They just kind of come and and ask us to play, which is nice.
How special are you guys?
I know.
You're that good.
You can definitely check us out on Instagram, though. We post all our ads so for gigs coming up. So
awesome.
Yeah. Shall we play another song for you?
Please do.
All right.
Title it.
All right. This one is called Same as Before.
Rose Asteroid on WREV. That was epic, guys. Love that song. Could you tell us a little bit about that track and how that came about?
Of course, yes. So this one's origin story. Usually, when we write songs, usually one of us comes into a jam with an idea. and everybody else builds upon it with their own creative voice. That's how we like to do it, kind of open forum. This one in particular started off as a bass line that I wrote when I was back home at my parents' house for Christmas or something. And I forgot to bring a bass because I was dumb. And they had this terrible little ukulele. And I wrote that one, I wrote the bass line from the intro and the outro on that ukulele. And I had this lyric hook that I didn't sing because I can't sing and play at the same time. But so I brought that in, and then Marcus wrote this beautiful, spacious chordal piece over it. And then we brought it to Aiden.
100 years later.
100 years later. Yeah, so that one started off like that. And we called it Same As Before just because that was the lyric that came to mind just off the cuff.
Awesome. And the interesting thing about it, I think the format of the song actually calls back to the beginning. So it ends up sounding the same as before. I don't know. This is a cool little musical detail. I don't even think we did it intentionally. Yeah. It just kind of happened. And they're like, oh.
It's meant to be.
Mm-hmm. It's cute.
Would you guys ever, well, I keep, you've mentioned this a couple times now. You know, like you it seems like you focus a lot on the instrumentals. Would you ever consider adding another member as a singer? Or do you want to keep it more, you know, instrumental based?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We have been in search of the fourth member, the fourth Rose Asteroid member. It's been a long time. We've been going and interviewing a lot of awesome singers, really great people, and like people that we become to love and know pretty intimately in like a musical writing setting. You have to be vulnerable with each other, and so we're meeting all of these great people, and we've always been kind of patient in finding the person. That's how we were before we found Aiden, because Marcus and I have been friends since high school, and now we're old. And we're, Marcus is 30 and I'm 27. And we were looking around for a drummer, because Marcus and I were writing together since high school for a long time. And we went through a bunch of drummers, and then we found Aiden.
Who's 5 years old.
Who's 5 years old now. just turned five.
Yay.
And he just got it. It was like we didn't even have to like tell him what to do, because there weren't drum lines to these songs. It was just Marcus and I playing bass and guitar, fiddling around, and he just came in and just boom, hit the beats that we were hearing in our heads, and it just made sense. So we're looking for the person who is that in the singer's position, yeah, we've been finding a lot of cool people.
That's awesome. It feels like that is something, you know, waiting until, like, you know when you know.
You just gotta wait for it to click.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a good message to take to everything in life.
And if you think you are the fourth member out there, remember to call in our on-air booth. I forget the number.
Audition right here, right now. 8026-4399.
Yeah.
Or chat.
Or chat.
WB.org.
Mm. Yeah, no, I also wanted to say, like, that open forum writing system is just kind of how we want to do everything. So we're really hoping for a singer to come in who has, like, listens to our music and imagines things and can paint a story in their head and wants to write content to it. You know, we, like, none of us, well, Matt's writes some music, lyrics, but Aiden and I are kind of just in the back. We just want to stay in the note zone. But yeah, looking for that creative spirit.
Do you guys, when you are writing a song or playing a song, do you have a clear picture? Like, are you imagining a story? What's going on? Are you all on the same page? Do you each got your own thing going on? Do you talk about this when you are?
That is also, man, you've got the good hard hitters. we actually take feeling into account very deeply when it comes to writing music. It's like, so a lot of times the line will come because you're just practicing and noodling around, and then you'll play something that hits you, like, oh man, this makes me feel a certain way, or it sounds really good to me. And then a lot of times when Marcus and I are trying to write new parts to that piece, like, oh, it needs a chorus, what do we do? And then we put the instruments down and we go, okay, how does it make you feel like moving? What does your body want to do when you're listening to this, and where does it want to go? So we take like locomotion into consideration. We take feeling into consideration. Like, is it sad? Is it happy? All that kind of stuff. Or more complex emotions. Is it like multiple emotions at once? Melancholia mixed with hopefulness, for example.
Does it remind you of things that happened in your life?
Yeah. So, we take a lot of that into consideration when we're writing. It's very much a emotional journey.
I like that. I think it's really important, especially with like your live performance, to take that into consideration, because like obviously people are going to be listening to you no matter what, but obviously like the grassroots of it all is performing live and seeing people dancing and having fun. That's so important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's when I feel most alive, is if I'm up on stage watching people groove, and then it makes me groove even harder, and I just want to perform for those people. I feel like I'm like doing something good for them, and then they're doing something good for me in return.
Positive feedback loop.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like a self-charging battery.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite like boogie on stage? I know you guys were like running around, but like, I want to know with the whole locomotion stuff. Like, what's your best dance move?
you can't describe it. They just feel it.
Yeah,
it's
whatever.
They all jump up and down.
But I mean, this one where I like jump from foot to foot.
Yeah, jumping up, just up and down might be your signature move.
Yeah,
just the big up, knees to the chest. Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to bust some of that out in this little studio.
Yeah. Say next for our audio listeners that they can't see that.
Come to a show.
Yeah, there we go. Self-promotion. Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram, Rose Asteroid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of artists get, you know, caught up in the whole definition of what they are and what they should be and, like, how they should look and how they should feel. But it seems like you guys are, like, down. You're stripped down to the basics of you're just doing what your intuition is telling you to do, what feels good. And I think that's passion.
Wearing clothes.
Yes. True. They are not stripped down.
Clarify that. Yeah.
What? Who said that?
Unless...
Anyway, play another song.
All right, this one is called Unlike Anything.
What one was that called?
That's called Unlike Anything. Unlike Anything. That one was written actually by Marcus.
Woo. Ooh.
So, obviously, you guys, you love your funk. I want to know what some of your biggest influences, maybe like top album that you loved when you were growing up to now. Any takers on that?
Sure. Actually, it's kind of weird. I don't actually listen to many guitarists. Strangely enough, I don't really feel like guitar has had much of an influence in my playing. It's more vocalists. Like, I love Imogen Heap, Björk, who else? Little Comets, Radiohead. But, yeah, I think I take most of my influence from vocalists because I feel like I'm taking the place of a vocalist in the band right now, and it's been like that for a while. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Great picks.
Well, I really played a lot of Foo Fighters growing up. I used to drum along to a lot of Foo Fighters when I was younger, in, like, middle school and stuff. And my dad also had his own music that he created on his own synthesizer. So he taught me a lot of, like, multiple genres. He'd be like, let's do reggae tonight. Let's do rock. Let's try something like that, you know. So I learned a lot there. And then later and to now, I listen to a lot of metal. So a lot of, like, Animals as Leaders and, you know, Car Bomb and stuff and Agent Fresco, and a lot of that is rubbed off in, like, the more progressive kind of drumming stuff where there's all these little clicks and things going on, you know. So yeah,
that's so sick.
Yeah
we can see the hefty setup you've got over here.
I'm just kidding. All seven mics, double kicks. Yeah,
double kicked up on a Wednesday afternoon.
Heck yeah, it's the best way to be.
For me, I've always been a student of the bass, and I am a Red Hot Chili Peppers aficionado.
Heck yeah, spotted that Mr. a mile.
I can the only
I play literally every single.
Can I give you a song, and then can you play the bass line for
yeah.
it?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Okay, Walkabout. Nice. Yep. All right, Mellow Ships, Linkin in B major.
That one is it. Yep.
I'm gonna start singing along.
Yeah.
Exposure so far. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I know them all. Every single one.
That's awesome. That's I've always also. I had my. Well, okay, this is actually not even about me. I'm gonna say this anyway, though.
By all means.
No. Blood Sugar Sex Magik has actually been, I think, the most transformative album in my whole entire life.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That
I went through
like
such
high school
a phase
you're
high with
speaking
that
my
moment
language
right, there.
Right now.
What?
You are speaking my language
yes.
right now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just like, now I'm giddy after hearing that.
Oh, no, for real, me too.
You're going to jump in, we'll play Give It Away.
Okay, sounds good.
Speaking with the Foo Fighters stuff, did you like see that interview with him and Pharrell, how he was like talking about like a lot of their drum lines or like... From Nirvana, at least, are all like Gap Band stuff and like disco.
No, but that tracks. Like, that's wild.
I'd definitely check that out. But
yeah, that's very cool. Yeah,
I love Foo Fighters.
Yeah, a lot of Nirvana too. Growing up, for mm-hmm. sure. I mean, Dave Grohl, you know, he's a teaches you how to hit with power.
Yeah.
So. You got some chats coming in. You got some. These guys are awesome. This rocks and. Your buddies from Hartford, Billy and Mo,
Yo!
Have tuned in and are listening to you guys.
What
right
up,
now.
Mo? What up, Billy? We love you, always.
So, would you say though, we just talked about your like, I guess, your individual inspirations, but when you come together, do you have a certain sound that you want to emulate, or you know, artists that you kind of put together as a group, less so than on an individual scale?
I mean, I think it's really unique in the way that we come together because depending on what idea comes in, we have a really varied sound. Like, we go from one end of the spectrum to the complete other. And it really makes it interesting writing set lists for our shows because we really want everything to flow nicely and for the appearance of a thread to come through between every song, but they just end up so different. And that's kind of what we love, I think, is
for
you know,
sure.
We aren't in a box. We can do whatever we want, and it's still us.
That's the beauty
awesome.
Of a jam, yeah.
I got nothing to say, but I got that's he's just wrapped it up in a tight little bow right there for you.
Yeah, so I'm still thinking about that Red Hot Chili Peppers stuff. So honestly, mine is clouded.
We'll have to jam.
We shall. We must. Actually, kind of a targeted statement, though. There's many a WRUV members that do not like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And
what? I'm not one of them.
I'm also not one of them. Yeah, this is crazy. This is how it should be, though. Mm-hmm.
That's okay. We still love them. And
you don't have to.
Yeah, that's okay. No, you know what? You know what? No, I'm all about it. I'm about everybody has their own opinion, and everybody has a beautiful taste in whatever they love, and that is okay with me. I hope they love this.
I remember like a couple. Wait, were you going to do a song? Never mind.
I would not. I thought that was like an intro. Hey, that would have been a great segue, man. I wasn't thinking about that.
But I was thinking about how we had an exposure like a couple months ago, and I forget what band was playing, but someone was like vehemently being like, "I don't like Adrian Lenker," and saying that in Vermont is like crazy.
Damn.
I know. I think we should all love all of the music.
That's what I say. Like, I love all music just for being music, but I don't listen to all music, that's for sure. Like, I mean, I've got my tastes, other people have their tastes. I have a pretty eclectic taste. I mean, I'll listen to jazz, I'll listen to hip-hop. Like, I'm in it, man. Classical music all day long. I'm there. Show tunes. Actually, you know what? A little bit.
Best show tune. Like, or not show tune, but what's your favorite musical?
Defying Gravity.
I mean, I liked the Book of Mormon. Book. That was pretty funny. It's a little edgy, but I mean, you know. I also liked... I was in a couple musicals playing cello in high school.
Nice.
We did Little Shop of Horrors.
Aww.
We did... this one called The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
I love Drood.
Yeah, you know
that one? My high school did that a couple years
ago. Nice.
Love that one. It's so obscure, though.
It seriously is.
And it's like a make-your-own show. Like, the ending is different every night.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Sorry, I'm, like, geeking out for
Hey, we are music
geeks.
Didn't
expect to do that tonight. But.
Big Jesus Christ Superstar fan over here.
Yeah, we were listening we were listening to Malian folk music last night. I listened to like we put up some like German pirate metal or something. Yeah, we went crazy. We went on a ride last night. We were
appreciators of it all. Well, that's awesome. I think you should hit us with another.
All right, here comes the funk.
Now that's a segue.
Thank you.
time, guys. That was awesome.
I don't know where you guys were going. It was crazy. That like the slap bass, like staccato part. Damn.
We're going.
You had that like talking in the middle. That was cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was so sick. I was like, yeah.
We're going on a ride over here. We're taking a journey.
Yeah, and I'm coming along for the ride, and I like it.
Good.
Yeah, that's nice. Definitely a little Red Hot Chili Peppers-esque in there. Oh, yeah. I hear it.
Yeah.
I hear it in the style.
No way.
It sneaks in there.
No way. Awesome. Well, it is about 7 p.m., and WREV is required on the hour to give a PSA to our listeners. So that means we have a big binder here with a bunch of PSAs, but you guys get to look through it and read one of them. And usually bands do like a little bit of a backing track kind of a thing. They do a little jam.
Oh,
make
okay.
It theatrical.
Feel it.
I feel like you guys could get fun with it.
Interesting.
All right, wait.
But here's
we
the binder.
See the PSA.
Are you taking your vitamin D? According to the Cleveland Clinic, about 42% of Americans are vitamin D deficient, and that number only goes up in places with minimal sunlight during certain parts of the year. Vermonters, I'm talking to you. I mean, it's almost February, you're always layered up, you're not getting that sunlight that you need so desperately. The easiest and most cost-efficient way to get some more vitamin D is to get out in the sun when you can. So be out there. Get that fresh air. During winters like these, even a 15-minute walk outside on a sunny day has a potential to boost your mood, get you those endorphins, and nourish your body with that good, good vitamin D. This has been a message from your vitamin-conscious DJs at 90.1 WRUV-FM, Burlington. I agree with that sentiment.
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D is really important.
We have been going through like a gallon of milk.